Welcome to Profit Boss Radio. I'm your host, Hillary Hendershot, certified financial planner and owner of every money mistake you can imagine. I now run a successful financial planning and wealth coaching firm. I'm here to share with you what I learned turning failure into financial freedom. Profit Boss Radio is all about how women like us are authoring our own lives, rewriting the rule book of money, and running incredible businesses. If you like this show, hit subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us that 5-star review. Are you ready, Profit Boss? Let's do this. Hey, it's Hillary Hendershot. Real quick before we get to the show, I want to share how you can get my comprehensive and virtual wealth coaching course for business owners. Since I started sharing how I multiplied my wealth from more than $500,000 in debt to accumulating over 8 figures in wealth through neuroplasticity, changing my brain about money, lots of you have been reaching out to find out how you can do that too. So this podcast is loaded with lots of great financial advice from both myself and my guests, but I'll confess, Profit Boss Radio isn't intended to be a comprehensive or done-for-you system. That's why I decided to create the Money Blueprint for business owners. If you want one-on-one access to me, plus all my strategies for learning to command and manifest money, plus your own personalized plan for your business and personal finances, conveniently packaged up into a 1-year transformational course, visit hillaryhendershot.com/MBP. The link's in the show notes for all the details. Profit Boss, I'm happy to have with me today a very special woman and friend and colleague and also a podcaster. Her name is Heather Vickery. She's a business owner and she's a global leader. She's been an entrepreneur for 20 years. She's a public speaker and she inspires audiences and empowers attendees, in this case, listeners like you, with the tools you need to live bold and successful lives. She shows you how to create balance, time management, mindfulness, and countless system strategies and boundaries. Personally, Heather's a single mom of 1, 2, 3, 4 girls who left a decade-long marriage and came out personally and professionally. It says yes out of the closet. So we'll talk about that too.
It does say that.
She's the author of The Gratitude Journal, Shift Your Focus and Grow Grateful, a gratitude journal for kids and families, and the soon-to-be-released F Fearless. I don't swear on my podcast yet.
All right. So
I can, but just, yeah,
you can to know in advance, Hillary.
Yeah, the other words. Making the Brave Leap. Heather's also the host and executive producer of the Brave Files podcast. She also has a gift for you if you listen to the end. I personally listened to her show, The Brave Files. It is epic and amazing if you want to really be inspired by the human spirit. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah. So the big story with you is that you grew up being parented by a single mom who had money scarcity and somehow you never caught it.
Isn't that the craziest thing? I've been reflecting on that really for the last several years because I have a partner who is the child of 2 Irish immigrants. And her scarcity, money scarcity, she came into it with a mess. She's like, how is this not an issue for you? So I've really been thinking about it. You know, I can remember my mom digging through the couch cushions for change to buy gas to go to work. And I also remember, you know, one point I said, Mommy, why do you have to go to work? And she said, well, I have to get money so we can have food and pay the rent. I said, oh, okay, okay. And then I went and I got, I mean, I was little, I'm 46. And so this was probably in the 70s, the late 70s. And I got my big plastic Donald Duck bank. And I said, Mommy, you can have my money. And I was never afraid to give my money away. I was never afraid to spend it or use it. I was never afraid that there wouldn't be more money. And I don't know how I didn't catch that when we were so super poor that we were, you know, drinking concentrated juice and digging through the couch cushion.
Evaporated milk.
All of that, all of those things, right? And so somehow I must give her credit. She must have just not made it my problem. I don't know. It's very fascinating. So I got out of college and I went to work for a nonprofit organization and I started doing events and I just didn't like it. So I was like, well, I'll just start my own business. I didn't know how to start a business. I wasn't worried about the money. The money showed up. The money just seems to always appear before me if I just keep doing the work. I keep putting it out there and being in the right spaces, and I get paid, which is awesome. I don't know. So I don't have scarcity issues, but lately I've really been playing with what do I want to do with my money? How do I want to spend my money? What do I want my money to do for me? Uh-huh. So I don't know. I don't know if you want me to go into that, if you want to chat.
Let's come full circle.
Yeah.
Like the caterpillar into the cocoon. So, I too watched The Secret, and she said, I just get checks in the mail. I just get checks in the mail. And my girlfriend and I started saying that to each other. And this is when I was broke. I just get checks in the mail.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you do get checks in the mail, right?
Sometimes
and
you do.
I started getting checks in the mail, and it was like, oh my God, this stuff works.
I mean, there is something to sort of a vibration that you put out, and that sounds, it's so unquantifiable and it sounds so ridiculous. I actually, there's a book, a money book that I really like. I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but Rich AF is the name of the book.
Yes.
She spells it out too.
Right.
I love that concept of you put that vibration out, and you know, the thing about manifestation is that you don't just like decide you want a thing and then wish and hope that it's going to appear. We behave differently. We start doing certain things that put us in a position to get checks in the mail.
Right. Well,
that's the way that works.
The mismessaging about manifestation is that it's this magical, elusive skill set. You're already a manifestor. Look around you.
Yeah.
Look at the iPhone you're listening to this podcast on, or the desktop that you're watching on YouTube, or you know, the place you live in, the car you drive, the job you have. You manifested all that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the work that I do, is like, look, reframe how you look at it, change the lens of how you're looking at things, that shouldn't then change your energy and your vibration, and you get more of the things that you want most.
Yeah. So have you ever had the experience of being in an environment and, well, if you look back on the actions that you took or the conversations that you had, you say money shows up, the money just shows up. Okay. But you can rewind any check that shows up on your doorstep. There was a conversation you had that created it. Have you ever thought about how your different invitations you take or ask for, doors you ask to open for you that most people don't?
I haven't stopped to think about it in that way, but I do know that it wasn't magic, that I did the work, that I showed up and I did. You know, I did things I didn't know how to do. I often do not know how to do the things that I'm doing. I mean, I'm a really good coach. I'm a really good speaker. I'm a really good writer. I've learned those skills, but there are still things that, you know, digital marketing could be one of those things. I don't know how to do it, but I am going to figure out how to do it, or figure out how to hire the right people to help me do it properly. And nothing happens without showing up and putting in effort and being willing to like stumble through it a little until you see something that you're like, oh yeah, that's it. I want to do more of that. You got to kind of play the game a little bit.
Okay. And there's a lot of people who are stumbling through a lot of things, but who aren't asking to be compensated for it. Is it easy for you to ask to be compensated? Is it always there? Is it at the tip of your tongue? Are you nervous about financial conversations? Are you not nervous? Are you excited about them? Tell me how that goes for you.
It's a great question. Yes, to all of it. Yeah. 20 years ago, when I first started an event and wedding planning business, I started doing full planning for $2,500. By the time we shook that out hourly, it was about $1.50 an hour for how much work and effort I put in to that, right? But I'd never done any of this before. I'd never sold myself. I'd never sold what I brought to the table. Asking for it, I would get the hot sweats, you know, like everybody else does. I think
good to know you're human
in the beginning. Yeah, absolutely. And here's what I've discovered is that the more we do the thing that we're most meant to do, the more comfortable we get saying, I'm bringing this to the table for you. I can help you with this. This is how much it costs. So I did that. When I closed my luxury wedding planning business, I was charging $18,000 to $20,000 per event.
Yeah.
Right. And I had a full team. It's never been so glad to not be in an industry in my life as I was this last year, because my event friends suffered so much and I love them so much.
They suffered the worst. Yeah.
Oh, by far the worst. It's been awful. But they held me so tightly when I transitioned into coaching, because it was through the wedding industry that I recognized that I was already a coach, that they saw that in me long before I saw that in me, because they were coming to me. I want to try this. I want to start this, change this. I want to transition this. Will you talk to me? I think you can help. And I started to pay attention. And because I had already learned to trust myself and my values in asking to be properly compensated there, I was able to do that. But again, when I first started coaching, you know, I was charging $3,500 for 6 months worth of coaching. Now I charge $20,000 for 6 months worth of coaching, right? So you got to get in and do the stuff. And the more you can pay attention to what you're bringing to the table, the more you learn, the more you know, the more you have to offer, the more value you bring, you get more comfortable asking for what you want. Now, I know that some people really struggle with that. And I think that those are folks who do have really big money scarcity stories in themselves, you know, oh, am I worth asking for this? And I kind of have a, because I just, I believe that if I show up and do this work, the money will appear. I also, if the client doesn't book, like, well, that must mean that I need that space open for something else. And I'll tell you a really fascinating story that I could allow to be a really humiliating failure story that just happened literally in the last 6 weeks. I have a group coaching program. It's a 12-month program called the Intentionally Brave Entrepreneurs. It's a really effing great program. Really proud of it. I do a series of cohorts. I open the doors 3 times a year to a very small 8-person max cohort. I've done that 5 times very successfully. It's been wonderful. We did it a few weeks ago and nothing sold. We did exactly the same thing. Just a few weeks ago. We did exactly the same thing that we've done all the other times and it didn't work. And I knew, so I do a workshop. I host a really great, it's called the Brave Method Workshop. That's my coaching method. And I knew going into the workshop, we didn't have the registration. People weren't there. I had, you know, my current IBE members were there and then like 9 people in the room. And so I knew like, this isn't going to, so we're going to just do this and we're going to be in this moment and we're going to learn from this and figure it out. I knew it wasn't going to sell. And I sat with it afterwards and I thought, what is in this for me? Like, because it was supposed to be a $100,000 launch, right? Like it was supposed to bring us a lot of money. And I thought, oh, I've hit the ceiling on this, right? So a lot of times when we fail or when we think something's broken or it doesn't work, we feel like we've gone down. And what I realized is I had taken what I was doing the way I was doing it as far as it could possibly go. And it was time to crack open the ceiling and build something different and bigger, put on a second floor. And so we're completely restructuring what we do and how we do this so that we can open the cohort. And we're also restructuring the way the program is going to look. We're offering 2 tracks now, 1 for newer entrepreneurs, 1 for more established entrepreneurs. Like, so a lot of things opened up. And if I had a cohort, I might have missed those things and I wouldn't have had the time to dedicate to building these new things. And so, you know, I trust that the money will appear if I keep showing up and I listen to the people and what they want and how I can best help them, it will appear.
Well, this is a very cool manifestation of the ASK principle. I have the 7 steps to wealth framework and the 4th one, I think, plan, ask, earn. The 4th one is ask. And I'm always talking about how over time you want your life to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and you got to ask for it. But ask like shows up in a lot of ways. And so I'm inspired by your big mindset. And, you know, you should come back and let us know how your expansion went. How did it go? How did your second floor renovation go?
Yeah. I mean, it feels terrifying. I don't want anybody to think, because I believe that this is all really brave work. But it's still really scary. Those things are partnered. Brave comes with fear. And I love, you know, Maya Angelou was famous for saying, ask for what you want and be prepared to get it. And to your point, I add on, and it's literally in my book that's coming out, ask very specifically for what you want, because we may often get something that we've asked for in a way that we didn't want it. And so be thoughtful and intentional about asking for what you want.
Yeah. Okay. And so how you've managed money in your personal life, talk to me about how you think about personal saving. Are you happy with how you're building your personal net worth?
That's a great question. That I am not skilled at. It's something I've been very thoughtful about recently. I started investing a little bit recently. I have, you know, 2 years away from my first kid going to college, 3 years away from my second kid going to college.
Oh, wow.
And for better or for worse, my ex is pretty sure I'm off my rocker. I do feel about paying for their education the way I have already shared with you. I feel about money. I do not yet know how we will pay for all of that because it's very, my oldest wants to go to UCLA. We live in Chicago. Out of state tuition on that is no joke. I just feel very peaceful with like this will appear. It will appear. If I keep showing up and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it will appear. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't like to have a better savings situation. And one of the things that you and I chatted about before we started is that where my relationship and conversation, internal conversation about money has been shifting in the last few months is I realized that I hadn't gotten to the levels that I wanted to get to because I wasn't playing in a big enough sandbox. I wasn't high. I was spending $5,000, $10,000 here and there, hiring people to do things. But those people hadn't done for themselves what I wanted them to do for me. And it was time to pony up. And so I've recently made some investments that are equivalent to, you know, some more than an annual salary for most average Americans.
Really?
Because I believe that I will make what I want to make before I have to pay off all that debt. I really hope I'm right.
So give me a big level picture of what's something you would spend almost six figures on or whatever it is. It's something around that number, right? I mean, that's what most people make.
I don't know if that's true in America. We got a lot of people who don't, but still six figures. I would happily, listen, if what I've invested in produces like it's supposed to, if it produces one new cohort member and or one VIP day coaching session for me, I've tripled my monthly investment, right? So it's business strategy planning and digital marketing.
Great.
And those are things that we have to grow our business. We could have the best product or service in the entire world, but if people do not
know
knows
it exists, about it,
you cannot sell it. And I'm a big, big firm believer in hiring people who are really good at something, do what they're really good at so that I can do what I'm really good at. And
yes,
that's not my jam.
Hillary here with a quick timeout to tell you how we can work together to improve and even make your financial life 100% organized and hassle-free. As a listener, you probably know my story. I made every money mistake in the book until I finally figured out the power of learning how to change my brain, including my beliefs about money. This allowed me to multiply my wealth to over eight figures. And since then, I've created a done-for-you comprehensive course to teach other business owners exactly how I did it. I've also been a wealth and financial advisor to women and couples for more than 20 years now. If you think we may be a great fit to work together, go to HillaryHendershot.com and just start a conversation. We provide fee-only fiduciary advice to our clients, which means our clients never, ever pay commissions, and we do only what's in your best interest, just like it's supposed to be for all financial advisors. If you want to see how my team and I measure up as financial advisors, check out our Yelp reviews at HillaryHendershot.com/Yelp. All right, let's get back to the show. So you went from spending, and I didn't even ask you to like prepare this number, so maybe you don't know, but you went from spending X percent of your revenue on marketing, because you've been doing digital marketing. Your website is gorgeous. I see you all over the place, right? You didn't go from nothing. So you went from spending like what percent of your revenue to what percent approximately?
Yeah. First of all, it's good to know it's out there because it feels very lonely and like there are crickets on this side a lot. And I think every entrepreneur feels that way. Like if we don't get the feedback that we want, probably. And I don't have these numbers figured out. But I would say I was probably spending 20% And until my revenue increases, which I believe that it will do fairly rapidly with what I am implementing now, I'm probably closer to 40 to 50%.
Great. Wow. Oh, I should have you back. We have to do a full circle on this expansion plan and all the spending. We have to wait for it to have its results and then have you back on because we want to know. Okay. So you're growing. Are you hiring people? Do you have other coaches that work for you? So you have staffing costs too.
Yep, absolutely. We are hiring fairly actively right now, literally made some offers earlier today.
Oh,
to grow the team. And I have two coaches in my IBE program on my bench right now. I'm the only one in the company that does one-on-one coaching. And I only take 2 one-on-one clients a year because of time capacity. And it's a really high ticket item, right? But we're growing that in really big ways. And I'm looking for those opportunities, the right people to place into those opportunities. So yeah, there are hard costs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any comments, financially speaking, on your divorce? And then when I was reading your bio, I said, you know, you typed, she came out of the closet. And I said, we'll talk about that. But you already said the gender of your partner is female. So you went from being married to a man to being with a woman.
Yep.
And any comments about your divorce financially? Was it costly for you, for him? Did you work it out to be equal? How'd that go?
Oh, no. After a decade of marriage, and this is taking a long story and making a short story, realized I was married to the wrong gender. And also we weren't a good married pair. And I think we would have gotten divorced anyway. It just would have been a lot more painful. Not that it wasn't painful because divorce, you know, we don't get married to get divorced. It's always painful, even if it's the right thing to do. I wanted out and I gave up. I gave up a lot. I mean, he had a great job making a lot of money. And I did not take alimony because I felt guilt, I suppose, that I was leaving because I was gay and, you know, somehow like I had screwed him over in that way. I don't really feel that way anymore, but
I can get it. You know, it's not unreasonable. I can get it.
Right. So I passed up alimony and at first he paid a pretty healthy child support and now he doesn't. And not necessarily, my income has increased, but not a lot, but I don't want to need his support. And I work really hard to make it okay without it.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, his company was bought out and he got a great severance, but was out of work for a year and a half and just stopped paying child support in that time frame. And I am probably most proud of the fact that I kept 2 kids in private school and all my bills paid without any support from him at all. But, you know, he's a great guy. But when we were married, he called my job a hobby. Like he didn't have any belief in me or what I was trying to do. And the fact that I never, ever, knock on wood, had to go out and get a job where somebody else was sending me a paycheck, I've always been able to not just survive, but thrive with my kids is something I'm wildly proud of. And in the moment, we're just doing the thing, right? We're not thinking about any of it. And then a couple of years later, I was like, oh, I did that all by myself. And I didn't know that I could, but we do, you and I were talking about this, we do what we must do because what are the options? There are no other
What am I going to do? Curl up in a ball and die?
Yeah, exactly. We are going to do it. All of my kids have come through the same private school. My divorce agreement said that I'm 100% responsible for it because he didn't think it was important. And I did. I do. And so, I've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in private school tuition in the course of the last 8 years, 9 years. So, yeah, I don't know.
So let's talk about, and just when you were talking, let me zip it on what I was just going to say, but when you were just talking, you talked about how you were willing to give up the alimony and the future payments. And I thought it's a very easy come, easy go kind of mindset about money.
Yeah.
You're the opposite of white knuckled. Right?
Yeah, I am.
It seems like you have a lot of peace of mind about it.
I guess I do. I don't know why.
Well, you would know if you didn't.
I know. Yeah. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sun is setting here in Puerto Rico. I'm watching my lighting disappear. My lights haven't shown up yet. You know,
you look beautiful though. Actually, it's all glowy. Thanks.
It's shadowy. It's like mysterious.
No, it's not. It's not shadowy. It's like sunsetty. Like it's all bright.
Let's go with that. Great.
Yeah.
Many of us in business have the experience of, look, my calendar is full. My team is fully engaged. Like I'm at time capacity. And you said, you didn't say you were at time capacity. I mean, I'm sure you guard your calendar.
Before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but then what you have to do to sort of break out of that shell, like break up to the next level is so scary. Because you have to become someone you don't know how to be.
That's exactly it. But that's been the story of all the things that I've ever done in my whole life, is becoming someone I don't know how to be to get someplace else that I want to go with thought and intention. And so I mentioned my group program. 2 years ago, I did not have that. I was only doing one-on-one coaching, some corporate high executive coaching, and speaking engagements. And there I hit my time capacity. There's just only so many hours that you can coach one-on-one. There's only so much you can charge unless you're Tony Robbins, right? Like not charging $1 million a year to coach. That would be awesome. Maybe we'll get there. And that's when I started my IBE program, because all of a sudden then I could literally scale that as much as I want to scale it. You know, like we can still maintain the small individual cohorts. We can bring on more coaches that sort of manage them. I come in and do VIP sessions with them. Like we can restructure that over and over and over again and add layers and add layers and add layers to make that 8-figure business, a 9-figure business, whatever we want it to be. Right. Yeah. Now I've kind of forgot what your original question was. There used to be a time capacity.
But emotionally.
Yeah.
Because I got to imagine a lot of entrepreneurs just say, you know what, we're just going to put this thing on rails. I'm just going to keep it right where it's at. I'm going to keep working 50 hours a week. I'm going to keep making exactly what I'm making. And basically I've built myself a job. Or, you know, maybe they even up level from there and they become the CEO and they become the chairman of the board and they hire a CEO, right? But they choose not to expand. Like they just reach a place where they're like, I can't spread my wings any bigger. And it's fear. Like that's where you're at, but it's almost like it didn't even stop you. Talk to me about that moment. Like,
hey. It didn't stop me because I want to go where I want to go. And I don't want to be the one that sets the limits on myself. I don't want to be the reason that I don't do the most incredible things. Like other people can throw it at me, but I'm not going to do it to myself. Right. And so they're afraid of whatever, like, well, this is hard. It's going to be more work. And I would actually venture to say, if you do it thoughtfully, leveling up, hiring more help, finding new ways to serve and do that, frees up your time. I've built this business while I maintain really strong boundaries. When my kids are with me, I don't work 50 hours a week. I do not do that. And I do not want to. I only have my kids half the time. When my kids are with me, they are my number one priority. I also know that after about 7 o'clock at night, I start to sound like gibberish. I can't work late at night. Everything's going to be a mess, right? I'm not my best self. My writing is funky. There's typos everywhere. Like, I just know that's not going to serve me. And so I spend a lot of time really being thoughtful and intentional about planning how I'm going to spend my time to maximize it. And who do I need in my corner to help me get there? And yeah, no, I did just gloss right over it because I woke up one day and I thought, I want to have a business. And I'm there. I'm at the bottom of this ladder of this, but we're building up where I have a full team of people, 15 to 20 people who I pay so well that it changes their life so that when they show up to support our clients, they're showing up from a place of let's change your life and they're all in. And so my motivation switched a little bit from how do I make more money for myself? How do I serve the clients more to really honoring the people on my team and growing my team in a way that it's affirming for them so that they then transfer that to the people we're supporting. And it was just when that came to me, when that was like, oh, that's what I want. I'm like, okay, right. How do we build that? And we just go.
So what do you literally do when, when you go say to yourself, I want my company to look like that, or I want to have that skill set, or I want to achieve that, or I want to do that thing that that person is doing. And you ask yourself, how do I get there? What actions do I take? And there's nothing. You got nothing. Yeah. What do you do?
So this is where I think manifestation is fascinating, right? Because I like to start with the big vision. Like, this is the thing I want to create. And I don't know how to do that. Do I know anybody else who's done it? What rooms can I be in? Who can I talk to? And I start showing up differently in different spaces and making new friends and asking really good questions and looking for the opportunities to say, I want to work with you. I want you to help me do this, or getting new mentors and things like that. So I think the biggest answer to that question, if I really don't know how to do it, I try to identify somebody else who I've seen do it or who I've heard of doing it. And I show up on their doorstep and I'm like, let's be friends. Virtual doorsteps. I'm going to go to real doorsteps anymore. Right. Can I be your friend? Like, can I learn from you? Can we talk? Can we have a conversation? Most people are willing to say yes, but the people who are making major, major money, if you've gotten to them, if you've gotten through to them, they like to give back. They like to be mentors. We don't usually ask because it feels scary to ask, but why would they talk to us? How do you know? Try.
Right. Right. And so, is that where you are in your process right now? Or do you have clarity about where you're going?
No, I have good clarity about where we're going right now.
Good.
Yeah. But I didn't a few months ago.
We're definitely going to do a follow-up. I know I've said this three times over the course of this conversation.
I know.
Conversation.
No pressure or anything, Hillary. I'm like, okay, universe, now we're going to come back. We have to have done this thing.
And here I am with Heather's books. Okay, perfect. Thank you. I think it's fascinating to listen to the inner workings of other people's money mindsets. I call it the money operating system. It's basically the same thing. You are the first person I've had on the show who said my parents' thing didn't get on me. And so
I don't know.
You know, now 4,000, 5,000 people who listen to this show know that it's possible. They know it's possible. Everyone's running around thinking they're going to get theirs on their kid. Here's Heather to say, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. I mean, I really would think if I spend time thinking about it, my mom, there was never a scare. She never said, we can't, it doesn't cost. We can't afford it. We can't do this and that. We might not have done it, but those were never her words. She never used those scarcity mindset words. So I guess I would say to you, if you don't want to pass it on to your kids, just think about the words you're using in your household. And it's a good reminder for me too.
It really is, because that's all you have. I'm trying to describe time to my daughter right now. She said, I don't understand. I said, do you know what later is? She says, no, I don't. I'm like, how do you describe it? Anyway, let's talk about, you have a guide, you have a thing for people so they can get a piece of you. Tell us about
it. Yeah. So my coaching method is called the Brave Method, and it is not an enter an A, exit at Z, and you'll have this result sort of thing. It's a strategic method for creatively and thoughtfully problem solving and planning. And so I have the quick guide, the Brave Method guide, and you can learn all about it. The book that's coming out talks all about it. It's part memoir, part case study, part now do this for yourself. And it really, truly, really, really works. I use it. It is I created it. It got me out of the lowest points in my life when I was going through my divorce and transitioning my business. And then I was like, how did I do that? And these are the things that I did. And I quantified it and I put it together. And now I share it because it truly works. I just had somebody just this morning, you know, I did it for business, but it's a 360 approach. A client that I've worked with for a couple of years now lost her mother to a very long illness. And she said, I have used what you taught me so much in the last month. And it has been the only thing that has saved me. Mm. And I was so touched by that she bothered to take the time to tell me, and that to see it play. I see it play out in business all the time, to see it play out in someone's life. So the Brave Method, if you go to victoryandco.com brave.com/guide. You can get your hands on the quick guide, the Brave Method quick guide. And if you kind of like my energy, come hang out in my Facebook group, which is free and fun. It's called Brave on Purpose. And I call everybody my brave hearts. And we just like lift each other up, right? It's not, we talk about business. It's not a business group. It's a 360 approach to embracing a braver, more purposeful life. So.
And the podcast.
Oh, the podcast is called The Brave Files. I interview people who have stepped out of fear and into bravery in every possible way. See, brave is my business, Hillary. Brave. It's all about that.
Okay. Thank you for being here. We'll link to all those things in the show notes for today's episode. I just really appreciate your time. It's great to get your perspective on having an abundant mindset despite all the things.
I know, right? Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
As we wrap things up here for today, I need to review with you the things I have to disclose as a fiduciary financial advisor offering wealth management services through my firm, Hendershot Wealth Management, LLC. You should know that the opinions I express on Profit Boss Radio are my own, and they can change. The content I provide in the show is for general education. It's not intended as specific investment advice, nor do I recommend any specific financial products. Unlike how I roll at home with my husband, I can't guarantee that my statements, opinions, or forecasts are always 100% right. Of course, I wish I could peek into that proverbial crystal ball, but so far, I haven't found it. Past performance is not indicative of future results. I talk a lot about indexes, and I want you to know you can't actually buy an index because, of course, when you take a list of companies and create a product that allows people to invest in those companies, there are fees and expenses involved that reduce returns. Remember, all investing involves risk, which, as you know, means you could lose your money. And I have to tell you that there is no guarantee that any investment plan or strategy will be successful. And that should keep my lawyers happy. Have a great day.